Today on the Reflex Glue Show, we talk to What Cheers' John Henry Mueller, who has let his design go, literally, to the dogs.
Welcome back, everybody. We have with us a guest that actually goes back with us quite a while today. Well, first off, I'm Donovan Beer, your host, and I have my co-host, Ben Luters.
Hello, everybody.
And we have brought back John Henry Mueller. John, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Now, you were actually last on the show. We were trying to figure this out sometime in season one. And then you actually go back to the Be Design Cast days. You were with us then.
Yeah. I came in with the Divi Collective group.
And at this time, you were running a company called What Cheer. Mm-hmm. You can go, it's just a one-page site that's kind of, but you kind of close shop.
Yeah, that's right. We stopped doing consulting work in favor of doing a startup.
And so What Cheer was mainly, you did design, but it was almost all web.
Yeah, yep.
And a lot more programming, and so you had good reputation in town. You guys are actually the anchor point of the Mastercraft building that people in Omaha hear mm-hmm. about. And then all of a sudden now your business has literally gone to the dogs.
Quite literally, yes. That's absolutely right.
What do you mean by that, Donovan?
Well, John, how much to the dogs have you gone into? And can you explain to everybody what you're doing right now?
Sure. So What Cheer was a consulting company, like you said. It actually started as my freelance thing. And I think that when I came on the show with the Divi group, that was when I was still a freelancer. And so I was mostly doing graphic design. As What Cheer evolved, my freelance thing became What Cheer, and What Cheer became leaned much more web-heavy, like you had said. And as time went on, we became a lot more interested in startup culture, you know, all of the stuff that's going on with Silicon Prairie and Big Omaha.
Now, Silicon Prairie News, for mm-hmm. your listeners not in the area, it's a website basically dedicated to news in the Midwest of startups.
Technology.
What do you guys actually consider startups? Like, what is the definition that you kind of see as a startup?
Well, so the startup, in the way that we typically use the word, is high growth, normally technology centric companies that are web based or app based, that are looking to grow a large audience or have some sort of high growth.
And fairly innovative. And
Yeah.
And so you've taken this and you kind of got involved with them, and a lot of these startups are actually housed in the Mastercraft. They used to make Mastercraft furniture there,
right?
Building,
yeah.
And when was What Cheer? When did you guys actually move into the Mastercraft?
Let's see. That was just over 3 years ago. We moved in the Mastercraft. We're the very first tenant.
Yeah.
So we were in the Saddle Creek Records complex before that. That was we shared a space with Secret Penguin. That was just a few blocks to the south of where we are now. So we moved a little bit further north into the Mastercraft building, which is this giant warehouse. It's a cool place, really, really neat, clear story windows, it's just a really neat building. And we fell in love with the building and wanted to move in, but we didn't really know what was going to happen. So we were fortunate that friends moved in around us. Secret Penguin moved in next door, and some other things moved in soon after that. And it really created this culture in the building, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, you guys really led that exodus. It's kind of hard for me to imagine now when I walk in the Mastercraft that at one time it was just, you know, you guys and, like, Secret Penguin. Because now, I mean, how many people are in there now, would you estimate?
Oh, I'd say it's over... It's like 20 or 30 tenants.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, pretty technology-focused, pretty creative-focused companies. So it's a pretty cool place to be. You walk down the hall and you see all kinds of neat businesses.
Absolutely.
And so let's go back to this dogs thing.
Yeah.
So explain.
Oh, sorry. I didn't really... You asked me a question and I didn't fulfill it. I'm sorry.
No, that's
that.
All right. That's all right. I just want to talk about dogs.
Okay. All right.
Donovan's kind of a dog guy.
We do a lot of dog work around here
for some reason.
We actually, I think in last year we had six different businesses that were dog related that we did work for here mm-hmm. at 1118 yeah. or something.
Wow.
So. Absolutely. We actually do continue to work for a dog poop removal service. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of cover
that needs
all,
to be done.
All parts of the dog lifestyle, yeah.
Well, very good.
It's we're very interested in this new endeavor you guys are doing.
So we had been wanting to work on a startup of our own, and we had been toying with other things. So there was we'd been working on some all kinds of side projects, along with the consulting work we did for clients like MindMixer and ProxyBid and HeyNeedle and Union Pacific and some other clients that we wanted to do our own projects. And we'd done a lot of different like little side projects, including our task management thing that's called Pep Rally. Because we're called What Cheer, we thought it would make sense to call our task management system Pep Rally. And so
I like
with that. And we made a children's telephone using a Twilio API. It's called Bumble. It's bumblephone.com. It's a fun service where it allows kids to call their parents using their computer.
And the key to that is when the kids log in, they only can call certain people. Like you set
right.
Call.
And so,
but you know the kid's smarter than you, so they've already got loops around it or not, or do you set that?
Right. So the parents have set up their Hive and they set it up so they can only call a few different numbers. But so you know we've been toying with the idea of doing our own product and be able to focus on one thing that we own and grow long term and so we've been trying to figure out what that thing would be, and we knew that's what we wanted to do. To put our efforts into that direction. And so
and you listeners out there, if you go to is it still whatcheer.com,
mm-hmm.
you've basically taken down all the client work, but there are links to these side projects that you mentioned
that you kind of
did on the side. So if you guys want to see kind of the trial and errors of finding the proper startup, they're all right there.
Right.
Yeah, and definitely check it out.
Because these sites are still live. You can still use Bumblephone.
Yep.
Great.
A client of ours, actually, she worked for a company called Squidoo. She founded the company with a guy named Seth Godin. That they founded Squidoo about 8 years ago now. And she was with the company for over 7 years. And she left the company to start her own startup. And that's what PAC is. And she contacted me and said, you know, I'm looking to build a team. I'm looking for a designer and a developer. I want to build this thing. It's about dogs. It's for people who love their dogs. And it turned out that the timing was just right for us, and the team that she needed to build was, we had all the right pieces. And so it ended up being a really great fit.
And the website is PAC?
Yep, it's PACLove.com.
PACLove.com. And this just launched. Was it on Valentine's Day of this year?
Yeah, actually we're in beta, so it technically hasn't launched yet. We'll have a larger launch event this spring, and so right now we it's closed. And so if you need an invite, you can send me an email. Right now it's not a full feature set. It's for people to be able to go on and post a profile of their dog, but eventually we'll have a lot more fun things for people to play with.
How much can you talk about what it will be like? Is this kind of a Facebook for dogs, for dog lovers? Is this more of a dog product website? Or how can
Does my dog have to have his own computer to use this?
Does my dog need to have opposable thumbs
Maybe.
In order to...
Well, does your dog have an iPhone?
I've got one dog who's smart enough to run one, and we have the other one that is not.
Mm, okay. Well,
working on that other one.
That one's hopeless. We love the guy, but he is not ever going to be computer literate.
He's a droid user.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the site's responsive. So your dog with the iPhone will be okay.
Okay.
Your dog without, you might have to do some updates for him. So, so we will have some social features. It's funny you say Facebook for dogs. That is the cliche, like, bad startup idea. And so when we first were exploring what this would be, it was like, oh, we have that like stigma to get over, and it's kind of funny. But dogs are cool. Everybody loves dogs. Everyone loves their dog so much, and that's what this is all about. And so we're excited to build a community around people who love their dogs, and that's a lot of fun.
Great. Well, hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about what it's like to actually work for a startup as compared to work for these things called clients. Is that what they're called now?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
People.
So now that you've started up packlove.com,
mm-hmm.
and this is like a long-term thing is the goal for this, correct?
Sure, yeah.
Now, the first thing everyone's going to ask, I mean, that's coming to everybody's mind is like, well, this is great, but how do you live like starting doing a startup like this when, you know, advertising revenue, whatever is being planned,
mm-hmm.
if you're still in beta, isn't going to come for a while. You've already been working on this mm-hmm. for a while.
Sure.
How do you go about the revenue stream, or is this where mm-hmm. is this where the other people come along?
Mm-hmm. Well, so like with any startup, investors play an important role. So that way, you have enough runway to build up your business and create a user base before you're profitable. And so that's of course the stage we're in now, before we've even launched the site, and that's where we'll be for a little while before. I'm using all kinds of jargon. Before our revenue channels are in full effect, right? So
yeah, I'm not understanding a word this guy said. So
is that something that you had to play an active role in, or is that something where you want to get a partner that's better at it? Or
yeah, so I mean that was sort of the part that so me and John Hobbs and Alex Gates at WhatCheer, the partners at WhatCheer. As we were looking for a startup to work on full-time, to really dedicate ourselves to, that we were sort of missing this piece of someone that was more of the visionary business person, that I can do the design, and Alex is really great at strategy and does some development, and John Hobbs is an incredible developer. And so we had a lot of the pieces to create a startup, but we didn't have a lot of the business savvy and vision for what we wanted to build.
And this is very common for like freelancers too. We're always yeah. running into the what do you do for the business stuff? Like I need to, mm-hmm. I can do the work, but I can't get the food.
Mm-hmm. meeting Megan was great. I mean, she started a startup with Seth Godin, and so like he was a great mentor to her, and she's incredibly smart.
Now you guys are here in Omaha, but she is not, if I understand
right,
correctly.
Right. She lives in San Jose, and she lives in the Bay Area, and Pac is technically from Los Gatos, which is really funny because it's a startup about dogs that's in a place called The Cats.
Are you guys taking her advice on like how to do this? Is this kind of like her role in the business?
Or? Well, I mean, she's really leading it. I mean, she's hands on, from talking to investors to planning out what the product is going to be. This is her vision, and so being able to work on this and collaborate closely with her is a lot of fun.
And now let's talk about this too. When you say collaborate closely, I love that you're saying this when you're 2,000 miles away sure. from sure. your other coworker.
Yeah,
and so. We talked right before the show that is it news? Can we talk about your current work situation? Like you guys sure. aren't really in the if you go to the Mastercraft right now, there's probably nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody in your office.
There are people at the Mastercraft,
right? Yeah. So at the end of March, we'll be moving out of the Mastercraft building, and right now we spend most of our days distributed anyway. We work from home. It's cold out, and so it's easier than driving down to the office and. And we spend a lot of our time inside of Campfire and doing Google Hangouts. And I see Megan, who lives in California, almost as much as I see Alex and John, who live right here in Nebraska. So as a team that we collaborate all day long every day, but we do digitally.
Does the Google Hangouts help, like that, rather than via just email, to actually see that they're actually, awake and not...
I suppose so. There's something about meeting in person that becomes really important when you're collaborating, being able to use a whiteboard and being next to somebody, and you pick up on subtle hints with people, I think is really important. And I don't know if it'll be a while before I think digital communication gets to that point where it breaks down those barriers. Megan came in. She was here on Monday and left Tuesday morning. She was here just for one day, for a day of collaboration.
Is that pretty valuable?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we planned out this next our next sprints of what we're working on, and so it's super important. And we were able to review design things together and plan out what's next.
Absolutely. The beauty of technology, huh?
Yeah.
It's amazing that this can even happen.
Yeah.
You know, as we talk about transitioning from client work to this kind of startup world, mm-hmm. obviously that's very exciting, and you sound very excited about doing this thing that it sounds like has been in the back of your guys' heads for a while, wanting
to get
this. So that's very exciting. But I imagine it's also a little bit bittersweet as you transition from clients that you've worked mm-hmm. with. Talk me through, like, that transition. How do you break that to them, or, like, do you pass them on to somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Is it a, it's not you, it's us?
Is it a breakup? Is it more of a, do they get it?
Is it a, if this doesn't work, we'll be calling you in a week?
Is it a, you know, John Hobbs, can you just take care of this one, and you just kind of, you know, sleep in and hope it goes well? Or
well, I think all of your assumptions that you just made are absolutely correct, so every one of them. It was tough to transition away from clients, and it was something that I didn't know how to do. I had asked a lot of different people that had made this transition.
Normally clients transition away from you. I mean, that's normally the process of these things.
That shows you how amazing What Cheer is.
Oh,
though.
Stop it. But it was a difficult thing to do. These clients become really good friends, and, you know, we didn't want to let anybody down.
Yeah.
But I think everybody understood our own aspirations to create something of our own that we would own.
Mm. Now let's talk about the big 800-pound gorilla here in the room.
Okay.
We hear, I think I saw this, one of the owners of PAC does not own a dog.
That's true. That is true.
Does everybody want to own a dog?
What are you guys doing about this? Is this something that you guys even want out there? I mean, it was on the website. It's kind of buried, but I was like, oh.
Who is it?
John Hobbs does not own a dog.
Do we need to just, like, go get a couple Great Danes and just drop them off at his house?
That'd be a good place to start, I think.
I think giving a dog is always a really good idea. People love getting dogs unexpectedly.
Especially full-grown that weigh at least 200 pounds.
And give them like, a bowl of dog food, too. I mean, it's not like it's just a dog. You're helping take care of them.
Right. Well, John actually wants to get a dog. He's been looking to get a dog for a while, He has a fairly small house and a newborn, and so he's waiting for the right timing to get a dog. Mm-hmm. But if you have a breed suggestion,
my breed suggestion is always pugs.
Uh huh.
We have a couple pugs. We have a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
They get along with everybody. And my other recommendation is to get it from the pug rescue.
Yes.
Because we actually help them out with
Great.
Some stuff. But that is my recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fantastic little things.
Yeah. Pug people take amazing photos of their pugs.
Well, that's because pugs are so, they're like little posers.
Mm-hmm.
They're manipulators. You pull out the camera and they'll kind of like, they always like, they'll just sit still and they'll be like, oh, I'm getting photos taken. Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard, but.
Mm-hmm. The other dog that we see that is very photogenic, and it seems that their owners are into taking great photos, is French bulldogs. It mm-hmm. seems like every person that has a French bulldog takes really great photos,
and they're very, being in the kind of the pug scene or whatever mm-hmm. you call it, they're very much, a lot of people who have pugs have French bulldogs because I think the personalities are very similar.
Mm-hmm. And
they're like
Boston terriers too.
Boston terriers, they look similar,
okay,
but they are actually terriers and they are completely different. They're a very
okay.
active dog, where pugs,
so
and French bulldogs
here.
More of like a lap sitter.
Okay.
So there.
Now, Donovan, don't leave all our clients for PAC now.
Yeah.
He is the dog expert. I actually don't. We don't have any dogs. We would love.
What?
I know, right?
But we don't. But we don't run a dog. I mean, we do work for dog
that's
clients,
right.
but that's not our only client. So
no,
it's different.
We would like to. We'd like to have dogs. A big problem with our family, though, is there's a lot of really bad allergies in our family.
Mm.
Primarily cats. So we had cats for a couple years and had to get rid of them just because of such heavy allergies from, like, Megan's sister and a lot of my uncles and some others that
mm-hmm.
just couldn't even come over anymore. And so that was really hard. But, yeah, we would like to have dogs at some point, especially when Jonah's old enough to take care of them.
When you're allergic, you got to go to, like, I think the poodles, because they have, like, human hair instead of dog fur. Or whatever the Obamas ended up getting, because one of their daughters was allergic. Whatever they got.
Hypoallergenic ones. Yeah.
They got whatever breed their dog is.
Yeah, so we have an Italian greyhound named Phoebe. Phoebe, cupcake, little cutesy small.
Is that the actual name of your dog?
That's the name of
our dog. Did your kids help name that?
They did. So with all of our pets, we've had a naming convention, which I like quite a bit. The first name is like an old person's name. I think pets with human names is an important trait. So giving them sort of maybe an older, more traditional name.
Well, you'll like that. Our dogs are Homer and a Johnny.
Oh, that's great. So there. Very good. And then a middle name. So having a complete...
Oh, ours are Homer, Jay, and Johnny Carl.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
And so the middle name is what has been sort of like some random word that Isaiah or Honora, our children, have come up with for the pets. And then the last name is a trait of the animal. And that really sort of like closes the loop and makes it a nice sounding name. So Phoebe, cupcake, Honora named that, little cutesy small. And so her last name is sort of a trait of who she is.
Little cutesy small.
Little cutesy small. Mm-hmm. And so our cats are Madeline, Kiko, Tippy tail. She has a little tip on her tail.
Yeah, we're not talking about cats.
And we're not talking about cats.
If you go to packlove.com, how can we find and connect with a little cutesy small?
You can go to packlove.com/Phoebe.
F-E-E-B, is it?
P-H. P-H-E. Wait, no. P-H-O-E-B-E.
Yeah, okay. Phoebe. Packlove.com/P-H-O-E-B-E.
O-E-B-E.
Yeah. Okay, and then that is a little cutesy small you're looking at in your browser.
Right? That is, that's her.
All right, we come back. We got a few other things we're going to talk about, and then maybe it'll be dogs. Maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be this beard that you no longer have.
Oh dun, dear. Dun, dun.
John, one of the things that you guys at What Cheer have been involved in for the past few years is this local fun startup conference called Big Omaha.
Yeah.
And every year, as far as I know, you guys have kind of done a fun promotional, sometimes like game kind of thing that kind of integrates with the conference.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if you could just tell us some of the things that you guys have done with them. And maybe a sneak preview at something you might be doing this year, if you are.
Sure. The first year, we launched a program that we call I Live in Omaha. And that was at the very first Big Omaha. And that came out of this idea of that Big Omaha was building and generating all this hype. And we were saying, you know, we live in this community and we're really excited about all the stuff that's going on here. And and so that's why I Live in Omaha happened. And so that's iliveinomaha.com if you want to see that. And let's see, the second year, let's see, that was, we organized the pre-party, and that was around this theme of like 1990s technology. There was a website that we put together that was all built in tables and had lots of animated GIFs and MIDIs playing.
That was amazing.
That was
this I actually haven't seen. I wasn't sure to do this.
It's the closest thing to the Space Jam website since the Space Jam website.
I thought you were going to say since the website we launched yesterday.
Yeah. So we organized that party and had Sega Genesis's there, and people were playing Sonic the Hedgehog and all kinds of stuff like that. And that was called Network Neighborhood, based on the Windows.
What's the URL for that? If it's still up, do you know?
I think it's Big Omaha. what-cheer.com, I think. Maybe that's still there.
Try to link to this on the post. We'll try to find this after.
Yeah, that's back in the Dash days of What Cheer.
So that's the second year.
That was the second year. The third year, I think that was Selective Perspective Detective Objective.
That was the one I got to be a part of.
Yeah, that's right. That was... before the actual conference... We hosted a coloring contest. We thought we had an extra ticket to the conference, and it was kind of hard to get tickets at that time. By that time, had created a lot of hype.
Yeah, this conference sells out every year. If you don't have your ticket now, you probably aren't going again.
Yeah. And so we had an extra ticket, and we knew that a lot of people wanted to go, and so we hosted a coloring contest. And Ben won.
It was... I've been waiting for that.
You can link, you can probably see it in your browser window. Ben put up your winning picture right there, so we're going to see Ben's drawing. I think he won because he drew a picture of John Henry in his drawing.
Oh, that's not
up in
all
the clouds.
He drew, the,
yeah,
right. It was sort of this omnipresent sort of figure, right?
That really won you over. I guess.
Well, who else was in that?
So drawing? In the drawing, there's a big story behind this, and I really don't want to minimize how important this coloring actually was in my career, because it was really the attention that I got from winning this and going to Big Omaha that made Donovan take notice of me and my work. And
well,
actually
made me remember him.
Yeah. Donovan was a teacher of mine back in the Metro days.
And
but
I was
been
looking
a while.
For another employee, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Ben.
Oh, no, there's that guy. It's a memory thing.
Yeah, and so I'm really glad that my wife encouraged me to finish that coloring the night before it was due. And yeah, in the drawing, again, we're posted on this in this blog post, but it included, of course, John Henry up in the sky looking down upon the earth, and it also featured Megan Hunt or Princess Lasertron and her baby Alice up in a little spaceship, and there's also the Analog, the Prairie Dog, Silicon Prairie News. I'm basically trying to pander to everybody in the creative.
Steve Gordon's there.
Somehow I was not, and I still called him.
Unbelievable.
It was not pandering well enough.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not in on the startup scene.
I may have to go back and do a new revision that includes.
I would like to see that.
Perhaps Donovan riding on the cow.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing this now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it really was a pretty monumental milestone in my life, and I don't know if you guys intended it to be so when you started the conference or started the contest, but you know, from that I got to meet you guys, sit with you during part of the conference. I had lunch with all the Oxide guys, and now these are people I consider my peers and friends, and I learned a lot. Even just sitting next to Drew Davies, he gave me all kinds of advice and perspective on the design industry. And at this time, I was just working in my basement. I'd never worked a day in an office with local clients, and I had only worked for companies, one company in Hawaii, long distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that's really cool about Omaha is that everyone is so accessible, and that, I mean, you were able to go to this conference because of this coloring contest, but I think you're able to in Omaha just to reach out to people pretty easily, and maybe that was just a... It showed that to you that was possible, but I think it's a pretty neat thing.
Yeah, I think before that, I just kind of felt like separated from everybody.
Yeah.
I was, you think in your head, you see these people doing this amazing work and doing these things, and they all seem so busy about their lives. They seem inaccessible, but I think what I found, like he's just said, is that really they're a lot less, you know, pretentious and a lot more accessible than I ever thought they would be, that they would just, you know, some of them. But, you know, I think even, it's funny, I didn't really know Steve Gordon, and he didn't actually attend the conference, but he was, like, cooking burgers and hot dogs outside of the conference over by where the New Black is now, in that old office building. And I talked to him and stuff. He had seen the drawing and even made a connection with him there, and we see Steve all the time now, so... anyways, thanks for that. But that was was the third year, and say the name of the game that you guys did for that.
That year it was called Selective Perspective Detective Objective. So we needed an acronym for that,
right out of Dr. Seuss.
And so we call it SPEDO, right? And so and that was a QR game. So you know, QR codes. Now everyone thinks they're so lame, which they totally are. But so that was a game that we created.
Should have told me that before I got this QR tattoo on my belly.
Oh, man.
What Cheer website.
So that was a QR game. That was a lot of fun. And that was when we had the development chops of John Hobbs on staff. And so...
If I recall correctly, you guys had just hired John Hobbs like the week before.
Not even a week before.
It was minutes before.
His first 2 days at WhatCheer were building selective detective objective.
Fox
SPEDO
with socks, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That.
So anyway, yeah, John Hobbs built some really cool things for that. There, every QR code that we placed had a geolocation tied to it. So as we placed it, we had an admin tool where we'd scan it. And so we had every single one tagged. And then during the conference, he built this map where when people were scanning them live, it would show their Twitter avatar on a map so you could see exactly when people were scanning them live. And he did that, like, during the break.
He's just showing off at this point.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, you just hired the right guy.
Right, right. and so that brings us to year four of Big Omaha, which was last year. And before the conference, so much like we did the coloring mm-hmm. contest, we had an extra ticket to give away. And so we liked this whole idea of, like, doing silly games and fun things. And so we did a hot or cold game.
Right.
And this was fun. We had actually done a similar concept before with hot or cold. But previously, we did it online and just gave people hints on Facebook and Twitter. But this time, it was a lot more technology-centric, where people would use their smartphone and would be driving around in their car, hopefully in their passenger seat, looking at their phone, and with their geo-coordinates, it would tell them if they were hot or they were cold, because we had a ticket hidden in Omaha somewhere, and they would have to drive around until their screen got bright red, and they would know that they were getting closer.
So can you tell us, now that this is a year out, can you tell us where was it hidden? Where yeah. was the ticket hidden, yeah. and who
We were at Standing Bear Lake in northwest Omaha, and I can't remember his name.
It wasn't me. I don't win this every year, you guys. I was actually vacationing on the East Coast at the time.
Ah, right. Of course. The whole game went pretty quickly. I think maybe it was only like 20 minutes long or something. Can't remember exactly,
because you guys have been promoting it for like a week to let people know, like, there was a start time when you would turn on the thing.
Yeah,
yep.
And when they got there, if I remember, because you had a video or something,
mm-hmm.
it was in. I mean, the ticket wasn't just there;
it was frozen in a block of ice.
Yeah,
totally normal.
Totally normal. And so when the winner got there, took an axe to smash the block of ice.
Was there an axe, like, waiting there for them?
John Hobbs had one in his trunk.
And the funny thing is, John Hobbs always has one in his trunk.
He has so many weird things in his trunk, honestly. So we need something, and it's, might have one in my trunk. It's really pretty strange.
You know, if you hired the right guy when he's got an axe just waiting in his trunk.
Of course.
Now, this year, when is Big Omaha this year?
It's in May.
Do you guys have something planned, or is it still secret? When are you going to start promoting it? And if it is secret, how do people find out about the promotion once it's starting to be promoted?
Well,
what can you say?
What can we say? So this year, we're working with Big Omaha again to do something, and they wanted to do something that is very much tied to the idea of networking and it being a small conference, because it's such a neat conference that people come from all over the U.S. probably all over the world to go to this conference because it's such a unique thing that they've built. Dusty and Jeff and Danny have done such a great job putting together this conference. But so we want to do something around that idea of connecting people, and we're thinking it's going to have something to do with degrees of separation. So some sort of game again, actually at the conference this time instead of before the conference. And so that's what we're planning on.
And so this will be unveiled at the conference? It's not like something people have to find out about beforehand?
So last year we actually did a couple things. Like the year before, we did the coloring contest and Speedo. And
last year I think we just followed you on what cheer on Facebook, and we kind mm-hmm. of saw these things pop up.
Oh, sure,
up. Where do people go so that when this starts to get announced, they can see
so, it? You can follow What Cheer on Facebook or Twitter. So we're What Cheer on both of those networks. So you can follow us there.
Wonderful. Absolutely. All right, and finally, your greatest piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to react to this. I think it's the best thing he's ever done. How long did it take you to grow out that gorgeous beard you had?
It was 9 months. It was like growing a child.
And you birthed that thing into a GIF.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. GIF. So John Henry made this extraordinary gift that you now see on your screen, if you're watching this on the website, of his beard growing and being cut off that just in a loop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell us about this magic.
So it's kind of a weird phenomenon. So the GIF was a byproduct of something else I was working on and still have not finished this project. Someone told me recently about this concept of if you tell somebody about the thing you're working on, it makes it harder to finish that thing. And have you heard of this
idea? I haven't, but it's making sense to me.
Yeah, and so I told all these people about this thing I was trying to make, which was a website of the beard where you would be able to draw the beard back onto my face, and you would be able to pick different stencils, just like with Photoshop where you pick different thicknesses of brushes and things.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I know.
I do this every day before I go to work.
Every day.
Get me in the... Yeah.
That seems kind of weird.
No,
but
because he grows a beard every day and then he knows... Then he can see how he should properly cut it before he shows up.
Oh, I try different styles on you and like, all right, I could see me doing that.
Yeah. So that was the idea to make the... And John Hobbs figured out the HTML5... technology and had it all figured out. And so we're like 90% of the way there, actually capturing the photos. My brother Daniel, who's a great photographer in Omaha, helped me out with the taking the photos and did all the Photoshop work to like get it just lined up perfectly. I made the animated GIF, told people that this is what I was planning on doing, and never finished the project. So
how
it's
close
a sad
is it to
story.
Being, I mean, are you still going to do this? Is this something you want to do?
Oh, man, I should reel up. I'm telling you about it right now, so that sets me back even further.
Yeah. But I assume if we follow What Cheer on Facebook, then in 4 or 5 years, when it's probably HTML10.
Sure, yeah, right.
The beard will be all gray at this point, mm-hmm. you know, and more wrinkles. And yeah, it's going to be sad.
I'll look so young in those photos.
But
I was
you
so
called
young
it,
back then.
But yeah, I remember you had the Facebook was he was growing the woe beard, mm-hmm. is what you called it.
Yeah, and so.
And you had updates, so I could see like he's at 88%.
Percentage.
But I
yeah.
never saw the 100%. Status percentage.
Well, that was the end. That was when I cut it off. That was you saw the whole buffering. You saw the whole loading sequence.
You had a beard that made people say "whoa," and you're like, "I got to get rid of it."
Yeah. Well, so the term "whoa beard" is a term from my son that he said, like, you know, there are some "whoa beards." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Oh, they're you know the kind of beards that you see when someone says "whoa," where you're like, "Whoa, that's a beard. That's a whoa beard."
John, you definitely had a whoa beard.
Yeah, that thing was
not
gross.
Everybody can. I think it was kind of cool, but not everybody can grow a beard like you grew, and it really was like a patriarchal beard of biblical proportions.
Oh, well, thank you. It's nice of you to say it, but it was pretty gross.
I think to be a biblical proportions, it has to go a whiter gray. I think it really does,
hey,
but it was getting there.
It was had some weird coloring going on. That like underneath, there was like the weird under neck beard that was like black, and my hair is brown, but like there was this black, weird, curly underbeard that was... That nobody should see.
What did your wife think of the beard? That's really what I found about beards is it doesn't really matter what you think or what any of your friends think. It's all about the wife. So what was your wife's take on it? Was she like, we need to lose the woe beard?
No, she really liked the beard. She liked the beard a lot.
And you married the right woman, John.
Well, I think so. I think that so. I mean, based on the beard alone, that's a pretty good indication.
That's maybe the only indication you need.
Really? Marriage counseling should really be mostly about people.
I think we just limit it to that. We're
I
talking
think,
about beards. A lot better off.
Yeah, I think they start there and they're like, hey, you know, my relationship's in trouble. And they're like, well, have you tried growing a woe beard? No, I haven't. Well,
and that,
maybe,
like, really tests
maybe
it.
why don't you set your next appointments for 9 months from now when you have your woe beard? And we'll see how your relationship is then.
That's a good test.
We should do marriage counseling.
No. I think we'll stick to the work. John will stick to the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And we, John Henry Mueller, we really appreciate you being on here.
Yeah.
Follow him, packlove.com, whatcheer.com, woebeard. Not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Not yet.
Thanks for listening to the Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luters.